minister tell us whether we are in a recession or a technical recession?
I would like to see you play your card, reveal your hand.
May I wish the leader of the opposition a very happy birthday? I'll even give him his question back, Mr. Speaker.
I appreciate his birthday wishes. I am 47. But that's 50 with inflation. But what I really want is a birthday gift from this prime minister, is someone who will actually answer the question. And Canadians deserve answers.
Ah, yes. The back and forth in question period this week over... Essentially, it became an effort in trying to get the prime minister to even use the word recession, which... Pierre Poilievre was not successful in doing, the prime minister in question period. Keep in mind, he wasn't there until midweek, but never did use that word. Of course, we know that the definition of recession has been met with the decline of GDP for two consecutive quarters. The argument continues now between economists as to whether or not, you know, this is a, I'll put it in quotes, technical recession, but not something that meets the standard definition of recession. But interesting to see there are a number of economists, and follow with me, if you will, on this, that are saying, you know what? We've actually been in a recession for 4 years, but it's been masked by the fact that we have had such a huge influx of immigration. Now, if you listen to what Mark Carney said this week, when he finally did talk to the notion of the recession, he said, well, I'm not surprised because federally we've been doing a couple of things, including reducing spending, government spending, and stopping the flow of immigration. And those two things will have an implication on this. But the converse of that is true as well. Right? It reveals something about the Canadian economy that there are some analysts that have been saying, this is what we've been warning you about for years. Since COVID, economic growth has been predominantly based on packing unprecedented numbers of new consumers, if you will, into the country. When you look at the population, the incredible flow of immigration into Canada, the country has essentially been in a per capita recession for much of the last 4 years. As you know, GDP is a measure of total economic activity. So we can track whether or not a country is becoming richer and more productive, but it also can increase simply because the number of consumers in an economy is getting larger. So you open the floodgates, you've got a ton of immigration coming into Canada. It can have all of the devastating impacts that we know that have happened. We're trying to now reverse some of the challenges with housing and healthcare and education and cost of living and all of those things. But the reality is that increasing the number of Canadians so drastically, in 2024, for example, Canadian GDP grew by 1.6%, but population grew by 1.8%. So many economists are pushing back at those that are saying, relax, we're not in a recession. There are a lot of economists that are saying, hang tight there, young fella, or whoever. There has been this problem for a number of years. It's just been masked by the fact that we have had such a spike in immigration. It's an interesting concept and one that I will continue to watch as this plays out. And of course, you and I will have the opportunity to chat about it. 1-877-332-8255. That's the number. You want to call in, you want to join the conversation. We just had a great chat with Betty Nippy Albright. She is now an independent MLA for Saskatoon Centre, elected as an NDP MLA. However, a disagreement over how the opposition NDP has responded to the Bill 48, the Compassionate Intervention Act, led her to make a personal decision that she could not, in good conscience, stay in the NDP, and she had to step outside of it. And a lot of it had to do with a report she talked about, a report she had commissioned, a report she wanted to use, a report that the NDP, under leader Carla Beck, said, we will use this report to generate a number of amendments or changes to Bill 48. So it wasn't that the report wasn't used, but it wasn't used publicly in the way that Betty Nippy Albright felt that it should have been. And as a result, there was this break in allegiance to the party, and she steps out on her own as an independent. I'm seeing a number of people on the text line suggesting that's kind of politics. You don't get to be, you know, a wildcat. And if you are, your party's either going to rein you in or kick you out. Now, in this case, neither of those really happened. It was an attempt at reining in, it sounds like, taking it from Betty Nippy Albright's standpoint, and she decided on her own to step out. We will reach out to NDP leader Carla Beck. Now that we've had the one-on-one chat with Betty Nippy Albright, we will have Carla Beck on the show to give, you know, her version, her side of that. We will reach out to her and hopefully have her on the program next week. You want to join the conversation, 1-877-332-8255. That's the number. Let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. Good morning, Ken. Happy Friday. What do you got for me today?
Well, as much as it hurts me not to talk economics, I want to follow up on something that your guest said.
Betty Nippy Albright?
Yes.
Okay.
She said that they know that when you're released from compulsory care, that you have a higher chance of overdosing. Okay. Now that sounds like, oh my God, this is terrible for an indictment of compassionate intervention. However, if you think it through, when they were going into the compassionate intervention, they're the ones that had the highest level probability of overdosing. You just can't compare it to everybody else. They were already the highest at-risk group. When they come out, they're still going to be at the highest at-risk group because of the fact that the intervention there doesn't change that right away. Those people are still the same people. When I take a look at this, I'm going, everything that you've tried, harm reduction, all these things, none of it's worked. The only argument that they now have, they don't even make the argument anymore that this gets people off of drugs. They're saying, well, they don't die. Well, that's a pretty low bar. And you know what? Compassionate intervention, while they're in the, while they are in care, they're not dying there either. Mm-hmm. There's no good answers, but don't give me a fake stat like that, because you already have a set of people who are at higher risk.
So I totally agree with you, Ken. If they target through the Compassionate Intervention Act those that are, you know, at the highest risk, as you're talking about, then yeah, the likelihood of them overdosing and overdosing repeatedly, daily, in some cases multiple times daily, is very high. Which is why, you know, I will always talk out and I continue to be an advocate that compassionate intervention has its place, because if people can be stabilized to the point that they realize there's a better option out there, there's a better option to choose. But when they are in the thick of their addiction and they can't see anything other than getting that next hit, that next fix, then it's very hard for them to do it. But I will defend what Betty Nippy Albright said this morning about if you take them into a true compassionate intervention or mandatory treatment model, it's not just a couple of weeks or 30 days. I mean, this happens over a period of time. It can be 3 months, 5 months, 6 months. And what happens is they basically get off drugs, or at least they start that path to being healthy and addiction free. However, as most people who have people in their family, whether it's alcohol addiction or whatever, I mean, it's a constant piece of work to the addiction. So when they come out and they haven't used drugs for 6 months, their tolerance level is different than when they went in. And the amount of drugs that they did going in that didn't kill them, without the proper supports to stop them from slipping back into drug use, a smaller amount of drugs, and this is proven, could be lethal. So I'm not suggesting that what Betty said is wrong. I also agree that Ken's point that these are the highest risk people. So let's find a way to get them the help, but they are going to need the help on the back end too. And I think that was the point that Betty's trying to make. So I know Betty is coming at it from the standpoint she doesn't like mandatory treatment. I continue to be an advocate for it. Yes, not in every case, but I do think that there are a number of cases where this is the way to try and solve the problem and to try and break the circuit of what is happening now, because what is happening now is not working. 1-877-332-8255. Tom in Choiceland, your thoughts?
Yeah, so that NDP leader there, I was thinking that if she doesn't like the NDP, why doesn't she just quit and go join the Liberals?
Well, the Liberals in Saskatchewan don't have much of a foothold on anything.
Well, I know there's only one member.
Well, I mean, they don't have a seat in the House. She's got a seat at least as an independent right now.
Yes. Well, we got one Liberal leader from Saskatchewan that is a federal leader.
Okay. Well, I get where you're going. I know with Buckley in Ottawa. So does she go into federal politics? She didn't really give us an answer on that. Like, she said she's going to focus on her next 2 years in fulfilling her commitment as MLA. She also said there's really only two parties in Saskatchewan, which leads me to believe that if she were to run again, it would either be for the NDP or the SAS party. She essentially said it's not going to be the SAS party. And by this departure from the NDP, I'm not so sure it's going to be them either. So this may be the signal of the end of the political career once she's done this this current term for Betty Nippy Albright. Yet to be seen. Let's take a break, come back. Open lines continues till 10. Then we break into Bugs and Hugs. So we've got a full another hour for you to share your thoughts through what's bugging you and any hugs that you want to send out. That starts at 10 o'clock. Open lines finishes up when we return here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.
Government's been in the process of laying the foundations for a stronger, more resilient, more independent Canadian economy. We have taken back control of immigration. That's meant the population growth has flattened. In fact, it's been negative for the last two quarters. We have reined in government spending that's growing less than 2%. But we're also seeing at the same time the foundations coming into place, settling in for that stronger, more resilient economy. And it's too late.
Yeah, that was a good example, a clip there from Mark Carney talking about the role immigration plays when we are talking about GDP growth or shrinking and the possibility of a recession as well. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of great texts coming in. Betty Nippy Albright, I think, started a couple of good conversations. One was on the Compassionate Intervention Act, whether or not that's the right way to go. And I'm seeing a number of texts and calls that we've had on that. But the other one, I think, is more around politics and how politics works, because there are likely, and it may vary depending on the party and the leader, but there are essentially some guardrails, and you can work within those guardrails. But if we take it out of the provincial context and move it to federal for a second, whether it's Pierre Poilievre or Mark Carney, there's some leeways for the politicians that are in those parties to exercise their voice. But at the end of the day, there is absolutely decisions that are made that are party decisions. The leader has a big part in that, that decide the direction, the communication, the strategy behind how they respond to various different issues. And that was the point that I was asking Betty Nippy Albright when we had her on, is she wasn't happy with the direction that the NDP provincially here have taken with regard to Bill 48, saying that she had commissioned a report. She wanted that report to be made public. She wanted to be able to talk about it. She wanted to be able to actually go out and do some more work, some more research, talking with people with lived experience and those things. And in her words, the NDP under leader Carla Beck said no, put the brakes on it, saying that politically would not be a good decision for us. Now, you know, if you look at the heart of politics, what's the goal? What's the goal for Carla Beck and the NDP? The goal is to become the next government, to form government after the next election. So it stands to reason they would want to make decisions that are true to the way, you know, their party thinks, but also strategically will help them in their quest to become the next government. So many people on the text line pointing out this is part of politics. You don't get to overrule the leader. If you aren't the leader of the party, then you in many ways will have to follow them. Now, give credit where credit is due. Betty Nippy Albright felt so strongly about this that she said, I'm stepping outside of the party then. This party no longer aligns with the way I think, feel, and believe. And credit to her for doing it. I mean, how critical have we been over the last little while of the floor crossings that have happened in Ottawa? Not that that would have happened here. Clearly, you heard her answer. She wasn't going to the SAS party. But she felt so strong in her conviction that she said, I'm going to step outside of the party. Text from Melissa here saying, Betty said that there are only two parties in Saskatchewan. Well, she's partly right, but not entirely. Only two parties hold seats. However, she could talk to another party like the Saskatchewan Progress Party, who might be a good match for her, about representing them in the legislature. Melissa, thank you for that text. 1-877-332-8255 is the number for the phone line or the text line, and I give it to you because we're not done talking yet. We can stay on this topic. We can talk recession. We can talk AI and this AI strategy. Or maybe you've got something for Bugs and Hugs that you've been waiting for and are ready to chat. Bugs and Hugs, your thoughts, good or bad, coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.